And this brings us to the second part of my lecture tonight, which is, of course, the Parinirvana and the Parinirvana Day. The Parinirvana Day is the day on which we remember, on which we commemorate the Parinirvana, the great passing away, or Parinibbana in Pali, of the Buddha. So let me first of all say just a few words about Buddhist festivals, celebrations, commemorations in general. These are principally three in number. We have Buddha Day. That is to say, we have the anniversary of the Buddha's great enlightenment, his attainment of enlightenment at Buddhagaya. That is celebrated on the full moon day of Vaishakha, corresponding to our Western April, May. And then we celebrate Dharma Day. This is the anniversary of the Buddha's first teaching, his setting in motion of the wheel of the Dharma. And this event occurred 2 months after the Enlightenment, also on a full moon day. So it is celebrated 2 months after the day on which we celebrate Buddha Day. And then thirdly, we have Sangha Day, Spiritual Community Day. And this celebrates or commemorates the conclusion of the rainy season retreat and is also the anniversary of the Buddha's sending his first 60 disciples out to teach the Dharma far and wide. And Sangha Day is celebrated 3 months after Dharma Day, or Dharma Chakra Day, as it's also called. Again, it's celebrated on the full moon day. So one has these three principal festivals which we celebrate in the FWBO: Buddha Day, Dharma Day, and Sangha Day. For some years now, we've celebrated all three each year. And we also celebrate at least three other festivals, which I won't go into now. In the Theravada countries of Southeast Asia, Buddha Day is regarded as the anniversary of the birth and the enlightenment and the Mahaparinibbana of the Buddha. And all three are therefore celebrated together. That is to say, they are celebrated on one and the same day, on the Vaishakha Purima day. In the Theravada countries, they celebrate Buddha Jayanti, as it's sometimes called, on that day, and celebrate the birth and the enlightenment and the Parinirvana all at the same time. But in the far eastern countries, in the countries of Eastern Asia, Buddhist countries of Eastern Asia, these three festivals, these 3 days, are different. They're celebrated separately. That is, they're celebrated on 3 different days. The birth of the Buddha is celebrated on April the 8th. Enlightenment Day is celebrated on December the 8th. And the Parinirvana is celebrated or observed or commemorated on February the 15th. Now, in the FWBO, we observe the first and the third of these 3 different days. That is to say, we celebrate the Buddha's enlightenment on the full moon day of April and May. We do this in common with the Theravada Buddhist world. And we observe the birth of the Buddha and the Parinirvana of the Buddha on April the 8th and February the 15th, respectively. And this we do in common with the greater part of the Mahayana world. So in this way, we're quite, so to speak, ecumenical. And we also manage to combine in this way the solar and the lunar calendars with all their associated, perhaps masculine and feminine, symbolism. But in any case, I would say it's better that we celebrate the birth, the enlightenment, and the parinirvana of the Buddha separately, not on one and the same day as the Theravadins do. Because these three festivals, these three events, give rise, if one enters into them at all deeply, to three quite different spiritual moods. And it's difficult to experience all three of these spiritual moods at the same time. If we go around the Buddhist holy places of northern India, of northeastern India, we shall find that this difference of mood, this difference of atmosphere extends even to the actual places associated with these particular events, that is to say, with the birth, enlightenment, first teaching, and passing away. That is to say, Lumbini in Nepal, Sarnath, which is in Bihar, and Buddhagaya and Kusinara, which are in the United Provinces, or rather Uttar Pradesh. I can't be very definite in the case of Lumbini because it's a very long time since I was there, and not very much was happening there. There was a very, very tiny ruined temple, little shrine, and the Ashoka column marking the spot, that was all. But certainly, the atmospheres of Sarnath and Buddhagaya and Kusinara are very different, as I can testify from my personal experience. Let's take Buddhagaya first. The atmosphere of Buddhagaya is often described as powerful. I use this word powerful with some reluctance because very often one can be misunderstood, you know, when one uses this word powerful. Or when people use this word powerful, they can be misunderstood. One at once senses a sort of psychological or even spiritual sort of flexing of muscles, which has got, you know, nothing to do with anything spiritual at all. So perhaps instead of, you know, saying that the atmosphere at Buddhagaya is half, perhaps I should say that it's very, very intense. There's almost a sort of quiver in the air. And before one has been there very long, or perhaps even as soon as one arrives, one gets a sort of feeling, even a strong feeling, as though something had really happened there, and not so very long ago. And I do know that people visiting Buddhagaya can be very deeply affected by that atmosphere. For instance, one of our own friends, one of our own fellow order members, Dharmaditya, on a recent visit to Buddhagaya, as reported in this month's Shabda, which I was reading just a few hours ago. I read that he says, in the course of his last month's reporting in, that when he visited the main temple at Buddhagaya, he was filled with emotion. And knowing Dharmaditya, I can really believe that. He was filled with emotion. And he said it was the same at the Bodhi tree. When he visited the Bodhi tree, the descendant, perhaps, of the very Bodhi tree under which the Buddha sat when he gained enlightenment, he said he was so overcome by emotion, he just couldn't speak. He couldn't say anything. So this is the sort of effect that Buddhagaya can have on one. In contrast, the atmosphere of Sarnath couldn't be described as powerful or intense. Sarnath is very serene. It's very quiet. It's very calm. But without being in the least bit lethargic or indolent, it's just serene, light. At the same time, it's quite joyful. You feel very happy. Sarnath, in a very sort of deep and peaceful, but at the same time light and refreshing sort of way. Sarnath is really the right place for communication. You know, perhaps there's some sort of trace, some sort of influence from the Buddha's communication breakthrough with Kondanya and the other ascetics. And as for Kusinara, the atmosphere of Kusinara is very solemn, is very deep, even. It's very mysterious, and one feels again that something really happened here too. So the atmospheres of these places are different. Buddhagaya, Saranath, Kusinara, they've got their very different, their very distinctive atmospheres. Because the events that took place there themselves were so very different. So I feel that those events associated with those particular places should be separately celebrated, separately observed. In this way, our experience of each one, the birth, the enlightenment, the first teaching, the parinirvana, will be intensified. Now, in recent years, in the FWBO, we've not paid as much attention to the parinirvana day as perhaps we should have done. We've tended rather to concentrate on the three main festivals, Buddha Day, Dharma Day, Sangha Day. But recently I've been giving some thought to the matter, as some of you know, and I've made a few suggestions. Tonight I'm going to mention just a few of the suggestions that I've made, and then pass on to the third and last part of the lecture. That is to say, pass on to the four episodes from the Maha Parinibbana Sutta.